before Vayechulu, or even after Vayechulu, before Kadosh Eskabel, his face lights up with fire, Gehenim Chas Hashem, one of Merikais. One of the lines, so serious is this that a person who talks out before Kadosh Eskabel, or then says, too by Tuchanin, Gehenim Tuchanin, kind of finished Tuchanin, so people already start to talk. That too, this is a very grave mistake, because when you kind of finish Tuchanin, Chazas Hashem Sholem, there's always the Kaddish Eskabel immediately afterwards. No one, not even the Kahanim, are allowed to move until after Kaddish Eskabel. Therefore, Kahanim should stay on the Duchan rather than go off. Some shoes can kind of walk off, everyone walks over and says, Yeshu Feyuch, Azaku Baruch, to give the Kahanim a blessing for what they have done, for their blessing. You do it before Kaddish Eskabel, that's considered a crime. They must wait until after Kaddish Eskabel before they can do that. Here too, the Zayde Kodesh says, you cannot do anything until after Kaddish Eskabel. The Shaila about folding a talus. That's brought in Halacha, where the folding a talus is considered. Doing folding a talus is one thing that seems to supersede all these Halachas. A man's fear for his wife. What can you do that? A man's afraid of his wife. And folding a talus Maitzoi Shabbos is done for the sake of the wife. A man folds a talus Maitzoi Shabbos, the very first malacha that he does. Before doing anything else, that is a teva, it's a favor for his wife. The wife has ease of health, giving childbirth, so forth. This helps support that. This is a special segula for a wife if the husband folds a talus Maitzoi Shabbos. There is a daya. Adil says that folding a talus itself is a mitzvah. He wasn't allowed to fold it on a Shabbos. So we start the week with, specifically start the week with a malacha. Do a malacha, folding on something which is holy. Not with a mitzvah. That's his reason. So in any event, we have established the fact, as Zayde Kodesh says, that a person, at least, the Chalapachas, should not do any malacha, should not put a light on anything until after the Kodesh, which means after the Kodesh is covered. We said the folding of a talus is something which is a mitzvah in itself, a segula, that should be preferably the first malacha that a person does. Try to see to it that the first thing done after Shabbos, which is a malacha, should be the folding of the talus. And while we're on the topic, of course, we'd like to stress once more that it's not a minor item. You see, Chas V'Shalom, people folding talis on Shabbos. Don't be misled. A lot of times, the big machlokes come up about this, big ones in certain places among certain sects, where they fold talis and they look for a tatum. Let's not look for things like that. The Chmon Islam, the din is that you're not allowed to fold talis. We had that in the Simon Shin Beis and the Chaim. Folding is usur. Shailas about folding on different creases or things like that. Best thing is the pshitus, tmimus, purity of a person who knows that he doesn't fold, he doesn't get involved in these shailas. Bosa shayla b'chacham. You don't fold your talus and it comes to Maitzoi Shabbos, you then have the mitzvah of taking your talus and folding it. It's a mitzvah, that is mitzvah. So, therefore, this should be the very first malacha that a person does Maitzoi Shabbos. That's who's he and his wife, children have a Yom Shonim. We should be zecher to keep the Shabbos properly, Kilchosa, to end the Shabbos Kilchosa, zecher to be Mamshich from the Shabbos Kodesh Shefa for the rest of the week, the whole week, zecher to see in the rest of the week the Yom Shekulei Shabbos. And that's a chus, we should see the Yom Shekulei Shabbos, the Vias Mashiach Kinu Meida. Amen. Amen. Lichay Shabbos, the din is that a person who keeps the Shabbos late, or some who hold Shabbos very late, they marich in Shalashudas. Comes to Shalashudas, they sing midas, and they wear a certain shul, they talk by the table, as the Rosh said at the table of Shalashudas, and they extend, or they have a table line by the table, and it's so, that's the yeshiva. Shalashudas is a lengthy item. Say, it's the Kedushas, the holiest time.
there, they see what is leaders, have a long shear by the table, with the manun, with the wicked, and that they finish the Shabbos much later than the average person, much later than the actual monk. But for them, going down the line, it was still Shabbos. What happens to a person who wants something done, who wants a halacha done, it's well past Shabbos. 72 minutes, it's already an hour and 72. Long past the Shabbos is over, but he has not yet davened matzah. On Shabbos, you know how to tell a good to do a melacha, to shavuos. What about that it's still Shabbos for this person, it's after Shabbos for a second person, or for anybody else, because time is after Shabbos. Is he allowed to tell somebody, do a melacha for me, or a fire, a light, carry something, write something for me, write something new. The Shabbos, you're still eating Shalosh Shuras, you can tell somebody, write something for me. Then is that if it's important for him, he's allowed to do it. Preferably after Shalosh Shuras, just before davening. He didn't daven yet, ready to daven. He can't wait till he finishes davening, he may tell somebody. Even during Shalosh Shuras, if it's necessary for what he needs right now, he doesn't need something written right now. Has to have, let's say, in the dark. Shul, he shows it is in the dark, so he has somebody put the light on me because it's already close to midnight, they're being mad up there. Our place is where he shows it is until midnight. That is permissible. When Shabbos is over, more brings that there's, the Gemara says, Chamin and Esoy Shabbos Malumah. It's a person who is sick, who wants to be cured. One of the greatest cures known is to drink something warm, hot, and it's only Shabbos, and Shabbos is over. It's all right, okay. Drink something hot. The Chidozal brings it, the Lady Kodesh, the Lady Fadish, Ruli Lay, the Chavesh, that's my son. She cures those who are ill. Chavesh, that's my son, he bandages their wounds. Heals their wounds. Mechabesh, Shuteves, Hamin, the Maesoi, Shabbos, Mumma. Warm, to be warm, Maesoi, Shabbos is a cure. Amos says that there is, it's very important to drink, draw water from the well, Maesoi, Shabbos. Because the cure that the Jews had in the Midbar, might be Be'ed, Shel, Midian. Well, of me, they went with them, with the before this kept them healthy. This water was a special cure sent to this water that kept people healthy and well. So, every Maitzoy Shabbos, this well spreads all the wells in the world. The person who draws water from a well, Maitzoy Shabbos, and drinks, draws from this well of faith. And so it is written. So it's brought. The Amos says that I have not seen anybody follow this custom. Shabbos is just important. It's interesting to know about it. I think it is that we see that there are things about Mitzvah Shabbos that could bring about the cure before Shabbos. Mishkan Zecher to Chinese Mitzvahs, Chinese to be the Shefa of Shabbos Kodesh, because Shabbos, this is very lovely, Shabbos itself is a cure. Bring the Shabbos cure into the week. You're up to the force. You're up to the see the Yeshua's comments from the yesterday. It's very
amazing. Look
at Shabbos, Dinah, without Malka. It is known that the first began committed was eating from the Yitzhadas. Which means that the first began. So serious, it brought about death to the world for generations to come until Kriyas HaMeisim. Until Chiddush Olam, would have been no death, this caused it. You see how dangerous food can be. One, what was the sin? Eating something, forbidden fruit. But it was eating the Isra of Achila. It's so serious, a person could say, I can see big sins being committed. But the eating something from the dead, bringing it back, and really says angels. See that eating is not dead. That eating was actually the cause of death. So every person knows that his, that the, each person's death was caused indirectly by this item of food. Of course, the Gemara says nowadays, everybody dies for his own sins, not anymore for faith of other nation. But if there is a person who is that pure, or there were people who were that pure, the Gemara lists, they had no sins at all, still because of this item of food they died. However, there are certain tzaddikim, very, very few, of course. First, let's analyze the fact that who ate from this Eitz HaDaas? Was it one person or two people that ate from it? It was everybody. Adam and Eve was not one human being. Adam and Eve was a composite, it's a gigantic form, composite of all the neshamas of all the people, humans that will be born. Creation of all the neshamas of all child, put together one single form of Adam, so that when they ate from the Eitz HaDaas, everybody has a taste of this food. Therefore, each person has to pay for it. First, the Zayin HaKadosh asks, what fault is there? Why blame somebody? Who's it? At the tip of the finger. Nothing to do with this item. Of course, the answer is that a person, if he would have had the opportunity to be there at the mouth, he would have done it too. The proof is, I take only my proof, the fact that a person does commit worse sins today. But again, we say there were certain tzaddikim when the neshama was there that did not partake of that forbidden food. Benedel said there never was time for the Eitz HaDaas. So therefore, these tzaddikim have no relationship at all with that chase. Tzaddik who never tamed tam chayt, never tasted. Look the word toyim tam chayt, taste. The taste of anything, even first one, it's a matter of tasting, that too is taste. That tzaddik, of course, is completely pure, void of any kind of now. The fact is that not every part of the body, many persons, taste the bad food. One part of the body, never tasted. One part of the body never tasted it. And it stands to reason that that part of the body should not receive a death penalty. Every person must die, every part of the body must die, because death came because of this fruit. But if a certain part of the body did not taste from that fruit, that part of the body should not die. And that is the fact. There is the Etzen news, tip of the spine, a small bone. Each person. The phone is called Luz, or it's called Naschoi, or it's called Mesur Ramor, and it's very called, it has a number of different names. And that bone, that Luz, Etzim Luz, that bone is indestructible. Mar says that they tried to strike it with a hammer on a block of stone. The stone was smashed, the hammer was smashed, the bone remained intact. Why is this bone indestructible? Why doesn't this bone disintegrate, decay like the rest of the body? Bone cannot die because this bone never tasted from the Eitz HaDaas. Therefore, this bone cannot die. Unless, of course, the person is that much of a Rosh HaChazesh. The Gemara says he doesn't involve Maidim and so forth, things like that. There's two. One discussion on that is that another two is possible. In any event, the case of a normal Jew, where he lives a normal Jewish religious life, and that bone remains intact. And that's where Kriyas HaMeisim comes from that bone. The bone is formed like dough, it's spread out and formed back, converts back to the original body. That is the origin of Kriyas HaMeisim, because the bone does not have any hanah from the eating of the Eitz HaDaas, which means that Etzemuz did not have hanah before Shabbos. When did that bone first have its first taste of food on this earth? On Tzoni Shabbos. After Shabbos, Kedush was over, then it had its first. Therefore, Abba Malka is made too because of that Etzem Luz. Etzem Luz especially has a more lived, thrives on this Abba Malka. So a person should be very careful not to miss the Sudas from Abba Malka because he is describing Chazal Shalom as Etzem Luz. Always wash, at least, if possible, some kind of a nuchya, but to be done sitting down. Regular Suda, try to avoid this evading issue. The person's busy, he's going outside in the Sodhi Shabbat. Whatever he does, Baba Malka should be kept. Give that a priority at all times. In addition to there are some, I haven't seen this practice except in many cases, there are some who, as soon as Baba Malka, they consider like a Suda Siente, and they actually light candles at the table. Malka's natives at the table. This is important halacha. There are some who do it, but very few. This creates, by just mentioning the fact that knowing that it exists, very important that it exists, that in case you ever see a candle lit on the table at any home, it's really Shabbos, not like Friday, but the same as Friday night, then you know that you don't mock it, because there is a mocker for it. See that the Suda Tzoy Shem is a very vital one, a very important one. You should be zechut to fill this mitzvah of Suda to nourish the Etzem Luz. Maybe I'll be zechut to Yesha Mason, to see what our eyes first to be as Mashiach and Kenu, who was named the Lord. Tzoy Shem is Dini Etzoh. We said that the key of Isar is the Shabbos Midrash is to carry anything from the Shusha Yachid to the Shusha Rabba, or vice versa, or to throw anything from one Shusha to the other, or to take a person standing in a house and putting his hand out of the window, handing something to someone standing outside, that means he has made two items that are necessary for a Chiyuv, the Shabbos. One is Akira, one is Anocha. Kida means to take something from its place in the Shusha Yochid. Anocha means to bring it outside and then to put it down. You must set it down before you chay. You have to have both. You have either one of the two, there is no chiyuv, it's only osu, but potter aval osu, which means isur midavon. Now, if a person, Moshe, puts his hand out of a window, he takes something in his house, sticks his hand out of the window. He has already done half of the Isur. There is an Akida made, picking up from Shusha, putting out the Shusha, but he has not put it down yet. So he has started Malacha. So far, before putting it down in somebody's hand, holding it, he has already broken an Isur Rabban, an Akida and Shabbos. If he did that, amazing, deliberately, then come and say we find him, we punish him, we penalize him, that he put his hand out of the window, he cannot bring it back inside again. He's got to keep his hand out of the window, like the Statue of Liberty, wait until Shabbos is over. Maybe a long time, the Shabbos is over, his hand might get tired. It might be one of the, so that the weights that they use for practicing weightlifting. Got his hand stretched out of the window at arm's length, to keep it there until Shabbos is over. This is, if it is, amazing. If it's b'shegeg, forget, put his hand out of the window or something, you don't find it, you don't have to bring his hand back. Now, there are some who say, some of the Rambam, the Ran, the Ashbo, and the Yachonim consider this halacha ma'aseh, that this is said only if he did this before Shabbos began. He told me something out of the window. It wasn't that heavy, naturally. He pulled his hand out of the window with something inside. And Shabbos began, he found himself, yeah, it was already done. He found himself with his hand outside of the window. He was negligent, leaving it outside of him that long. And what does he do now? We say that in a case like that, we find it. You cannot bring your hand back until 24 hours later.
leave your hand there and go, show me why you can do it. But you cannot move, you cannot budge from that spot until Shabbos is over. Why is that? Because normally, no matter how light this thing is, eventually he will either not be able to carry it, or it'll doze off, the thing will drop from his hand. And after it drops, he can't stay that long holding onto it. So if it drops from his hand, that's the end of the malacha. He now has the hanacha. He made the Aikido before, he now has the hanacha. Since the Aikido was made before Shabbos began, there was no Aikido. So the worst that could happen now, if we find him to say, keep your hand out of the window, is that there'll be a hanacha, which is only half of the malacha. Therefore, we find him that, analyze him that way. Even let's say it's only a flower pot and somebody's walking beneath, and it gets too tired to hold on to it, stay put until the saga is over. However, if he did it on Shabbos, then the Chachamim will not find him, not penalize him that strictly, too severe a penalty. Because what's going to happen? He put his hand out already. He already started the Malacha Daraisa. The Aikido was there. We penalize him and say, stay put. He's going to drop it. That's going to be the end of Malacha Yishai Visa. He finished the whole Malacha on Shabbos. He has both Aikido and Aikido. Therefore, he shouldn't say that we do not punish him in this case, but that he doesn't deserve it. We don't want to be the cause of his having broken, since he broke an Easter above the Mesa, he should not break an Easter that I said. He should cause him to break an Easter that I said. Therefore, we do not punish him for that. And he's allowed to bring his hand back in. Chayavim adds to that point, Kaddish, which also is accepted by Sin, that if he did this just before Shabbos is over, where it is not logical that he's going to drop it, it's that close to the end of Shabbos. Therefore, that definitely, even these Nishan would admit, since the whole Zayda goes, he might break an Isa that Isa here, it's that close to the end of Shabbos, he will not break an Isa that Isa. We punish him and say, stay put until Shabbos is over. You gotta wait until Shabbos is over. There's one additional item to add to this whole series of halachas. That is the basic item that we've mentioned previously for the Shuyas. Sarabim, for Yachid, Yachid Sarabim, and the Kamalas, Halachim Petur. Halachim Petur is something which is higher than 10th Halachim, in Eidishus Sarabim. In the Nishus Rabbin only. And then, that Malkin Batur, you're allowed to take something from the Nishus Rabbin and put it there, or vice versa. Or the Shiyachid. Shabbos is no easier to take something from the Shiyachid or Shabbat to Malkin Batur and vice versa. So, therefore, since the Malkin Batur is more than 10th Vachim in the Nishus Rabbin, the person lives on the second floor, or it's very important to live on the fifth or sixth floor, you stick your hand out of the window or something. Deliberately, accidentally, put your hand out of the window, you made an Aikido from your house, out into this, over the street, and there is no Easter at all. You can bring your hand right back, because this is a Malkin Batur. The Kiddush of this, you are very few under, are aware of this item. Of course, this should not really be done with Aikido, because of many reasons. At least we know that if he did it, there's no problem bringing the hand back, and there's no actual Issa that has been committed. It's only who said more than 10th Vachem in it, or it's more than 10th Vachem in Nishus Rabbim, and being in Malkin Batur, there's no Issa to transfer something from either Shiyachad or Shabbat to Malkin Batur. It's a zechet to the Shemini Shabbos for Chosro, it's a zechet to the Yom Shikuli Shabbos, the Vias Mashiach Kenan, because of the fact that we are now, just before Purim, we'll deviate and take up the topic, the union of the Seder Arba Pashias, or four Pashias, four Maftirs that we laid in the Teder, 4 weeks, four times between the Shchedish Adar and the Shchedish Nisan, four special Pashias. They're known as the Arba Pashias. The order they are, Parshas Shkolim, Parshas Zohar, Parshas Korah, and Parshas Zachedish. This really gives a clear, concise definition of these reasoning.
The first word, the take word of the Torah, Parshas Shkolim, that word is lame. That's the reason left here. Lame. Parshas Kisisa, which deals with the Nachtis Hashakot. That's lame on the Shkodesh Adar, if it comes out on Shabbos. If it comes out during the week, Parshas Shkolim, the Shabbos, the Bochum, Shkodesh Adar. Shabbos is revenge for Shkodesh Adar. This is in memory of the fact that every Jew had to give a Nachtis Hashakot to the Mishkot, to the base of Mikdash, and the Shkodesh Nissen, pay for the Kodem Tumim. The Kodem Tumim, which every Jew is responsible for during the year. Maybe for this was the Shkodesh Nissen, the Nachtis Hashakot, given on that day. Torah says, Mishniya Mashkot, we announce. In fact, the Shkodesh should be given out. This was announced once before, the Shkodesh Adar. In memory of this, we also lay the Parshas Kisisa, which deals with this mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel. The Beinazal says that the Haskalah, beginning of time, beginning of the year, is Pesach. Pesach is the first end of the year, beginning of the Adar. However, there's a beginning of a beginning. This goes back to Purim. This Purim is the Haskalah of Pesach. 30 days before Pesach, you're supposed to stop in the Pesach, which is Purim. The Purim actually is connected with Pesach. It shows how. Hazal said that he heard the Minas of Warsaw that not just Purim is the beginning, but Parshas Shkolim is the beginning. Purim is preceded by Parshas Shkolim. It's also part of Purim because Mara said that the whole mess of Purim, like that Hungary wanted to give somebody Shkolim to wipe out the Jews, had a Shalom. Skolim that the Jews gave outweighed, outshone, overshadowed, not say at the feet of the Shkolim of Hashem. Therefore, Parshas Shkolim is the true beginning. Mitzvah of Matzah Shekel, of course. We try to give it today in memory of Matzah Shekel, or Purim. What is the Matzah Shekel? The word Shekel is the Gematria of Nefesh. So, Pidya Nefesh, the Jew gives the Matzah Shekel. Redeem his nefesh. Also, it means to remove the nidim, because shekel also is not the only Misha Gemurais, five times the Shem Eitzim, Misha Gemurais, by giving the shekel, to remove these nidim, pinyin nefesh, gemurti nefesh. Same time we see that there is the mitzvah of Machtas HaShekel. We don't give a whole shekel, we give a half a shekel. Not only that, but this is so strict. The Pasuk says, Oshi la yarda, yarda la yarda. The wealthiest person should not give more, the poorest person should not give less. Nobody can give more or less than half a shekel. Show, all are alike. Every single Jew receives Oshi, the highest person. And how high he goes, la yarda, you shouldn't think that he's that great. La yarda, don't think you've got so much. Don't rise that high. And then it says we have Dalla Yamit. Dalla is the person is poor. It doesn't mean money. One is poor. This way is poor. Nice. And they should not consider themselves that low. Don't think if you're lost, Chas V'Shalom, to be Yaish. You can still come back and be the biggest usher. One word of tshuva. One tear before Hashem. Hashem, I want to come back. Honestly, you rise to the greatest wealth. First Hashem. But again, it's neither poor nor equal. And therefore, the mitzvah is not each one gives a shekel, each one gives half a shekel. Show that you alone, no matter who you are, Oshi or Dal, nothing. You're half a person, which is zero, half of an entity. Two Jews together, and you have a whole image of the whole life. The Jew separates himself from others and says, I'm not, I can handle myself. That's not good. But there is Achdus. Achdus unites with his fellow Jew. Together you have a whole shekel. The thing which explains why it's called Machzis HaShekel. That it must be the closest to this canvas to the Tzaddik Yemes. A person who is not close to the Tzaddik Yemes is a Russian. The Russian, the Gemara says, is called a mess. His corpse is dead. A Russian. You must have a mace. You must have a mace. The
Russia, it was a corpse was put in there. This is he's dead before he dies. While he's alive, he's called a mace. Who is the Russia? One who is opposite of, away from, at a distance from the Tzaddik Emes. Who is close to the Tzaddik Emes, speaks to them, he is a chai. He's truly alive. Like you find in the word machzis, machzis is spelled then, ches, tzaddik, yud tov. Not the middle letter is the tzaddik. Then ches on one side, yud tov on the other side. The letter is tzaddik. The letter before the tzaddik is ches, which touches the tzaddik on one side. The second side is the yud. Ches yud is chai. The chai clings to the tzaddik. Two letters that are a distance, the first letter then, the last letter tov. Those that are far from the tzaddik, not this guy from the tzaddik, that's called mace. That's dead. This is the reason for Matzah Hashem that teaches. Number one, we must be close to the tzaddik and his kamuna. Two, you have to know. Do not separate yourself. You have to be a Kurdish mitzvah to separate yourself from the Jew. Mitzvah, Matzah Shekel, tells us that the Jews must be yuchad, be uchad, find together the Yahav or Yahav. Then they are zecher, the result of the Akamas HaMishkan, which means that Diyas, the aesthetic, the Yubis Mikdash, which we tell the same thing that we know from
the Seder of the four parishes, we said, they range from the Shredish Adar till Nisan. The first one, as we explained, Pasha Shkolim, is on Shabbos, the Shredish Adar, or the Shredish comes out in the middle of the week. It's the Shabbos Mevochim, the Shredish Adar. Second one is Shabbos Parshas Zochar. This is the Shabbos just before Purim. The reason is that it says in the Megillah, Yom El Niskodim Benasa. Niskodim Benasa means that I've mentioned, then there is action. First we mentioned it, Mitzvah Mechias Amalek, erasing the Zecher Amalek, the Shabbos before Purim, and then immediately after that week we have the Purim itself, the Mass, where the mitzvahs are done. The actual mitzvah of the Megillah, the Simcha, the Sudas Purim, Shlach Munis, all that is done afterwards. Because the remember is here that the Shabbos before Purim there should be the Niskodim, the Askodim, the mentioning of the Parsha of Mechias Amalek in the Taira, which is the Nidaraisa. This is always on Shabbos before Purim, because Purim does not come out on Shabbos. As far as we are concerned, it doesn't come out on Shabbos. There are, of course, the 2 days of Purim. One is the 14th day of Adar, which is the Purim for the whole world. One is the 15th day of Adar, which is the Purim for Yerushalayim. And those cities in Eretz Yisrael, which have a wall around them, which had the wall since the time of Yeshua, or the city of Shushan itself, original city where the miracle took place. They lay the Megillah on the 15th. They celebrate on the 15th, which is called Shushan Purim. Now, in order to understand, to know how to make these, arrange these days, or dates, of these four parshas, and if the Rosh Torah gives a key to it, we know that there are 4 days which the Shredish Adar can come out of. The simon for it is Zabdu. Zayin, Beis, Talad, Vav. It came out only on Shabbos, on Monday, on Wednesday, and on Friday. When we say the Shredish, of course, we speak about the second day of the Shredish, which then is the first day of Adar. For those 4 days, you can have the Shredish come out. Therefore, we have four parshas. We have more than four Shabbosim between Shabbos Mevochim Adar and Shabbos Parshas HaChodesh. But you have more what happens to the other Shabbosim. So the extra ones, the ones in between, are called the Hafsaka. Hafsaka means there's a space between these Shabbosim, one without any one of the four parshas. It's important, not because of these four parshas, the Shabbos especially, you have quiet, the Shachas, quiet, the Musa, added in the first to the Parshas Kol and Parshas HaChodesh, you don't see Avad Achman. You have to know when these Hafsakos will come up. there is a simon given for these avsakas. Simon is brief abbreviation. Shtevis satu zayin teslov bali beis vav dad dalad dalad um biyu vav beis vav or the betaz the same. This the simon given is this way. If we said these 4 days with the Shvedish Adar come up, if the Shvedish Adar comes out on the first, the Zion is Shabbos, then we have the very next Shabbos is already, which is the 8th, is already Parshas Zohar. Zion comes out on the Shabbos, that means that Parshas Kom is on the Shabbos. Next Shabbos will be Parshas Zohar. Following Shabbos, the 15th of Adar, then you will have a Havsach with no Pasha then. And the next two Shabbos are Pasha's Kodah and Pasha's Akhodesh. Second Simon Boy, Beis Vav, means that if the Shredish comes out, on Monday, then the first Havsach will be the 6th day of Adar, which means the very next Shabbos we have Sukkot. One after the Pashas Sukkot, followed by Pashas Kodesh and Pashas Chodesh. Third case is that if the Shvedish comes out on Wednesday, then the first of Sukkot would be the 4th day, Dalad Adar, which means the very next Shabbos. We still have again 3 Shabbos in a row, Sukkot, Kodesh, and Chodesh. If there's one case, if the Shvedish comes out on both, that's Friday, then you have 2 Havsakas. You have the first Havsaka is Beis, both Beis and Bov. We said the first Havsaka is Beis, the second day of Adar, which means that the day after the Shchedesh is the first Havsaka, because the Shabbos previously had Pasha Shkol, and this is this year's case. This year, the Shchedesh came out on Friday, first day of Adar. The Pasha Shkola was the Shabbos before. The first Havsaka was this past Shabbos. It was the second day of the month of Adar. Then, the next Shabbos, which is this coming Shabbos, is Pasha Shkola, followed by the 16th day of Adar. That is again Havsaka. We have 2 Havsakas this year. Well, on Friday, Beis Yudvav, on the second day of Adar, the 16th, we have Havsaka, followed then by the 2 Shabbos in a row, Pasha Shkola. These are the Simunim. No, if you study this by heart, it's just a few short letters. You know, the Simunim, you know how to tell the calendar. Sort of like Seder Ibur, when they count, at least knowing they say that the Pasha is in place, you have no calendar. You can't see when this Pasha, when these Pasha are. I remember these 4 Simunim, you know automatically exactly when these Pasha are and which Shabbos there are. These Dalai Pashas. This is the Seder to know these 4 Pashas. We said we have now completed the second one, Pasha Zohar, which is the Shabbos before Purim, which we say special piety in reference to the Pashas Zohar. We should be Zohar to see with our eyes the Pashas Zohar, the Pashas Kosa in Israel, see the Yeshua Kholis, where they call you some of the Pashas, which is coming up. Purim Dinei Arba Pashas. 4 Pashas, cover the first 2. The first one was Pashas Shkolim, second one Pashas Zohar, that's the Shabbos just before Purim. And again, we stress the fact that Pashas Zohar, according to all days, is Midraisa. Meaning it is compulsory for every person to fulfill the mitzvah of Achias Amalek. How? You get an Amalek here and kill him, it's fine. But you can't. It's done today by mentioning the fact that Machay Timcha Ezecha Amalek is the way it's supposed to be. Machay Timcha Ezecha Amalek, erase the name of Amalek. There are some people who ask if you want to erase it, so why do you keep mentioning it? Want to eliminate it? The answer is to erase the Amalek itself, the memory. The memory of the Ness, the fact that Hashem held battle against Amalek throughout the ages. This is part of our history. This is part of the Pasdei Hashem. they're also avoiding. And of course, we have to keep mentioning, he's saying he mentioned any of the Nisim. You're fighting with that. That was Pashas Zachar. Pashas Korah is the Shabbos before Pashas Achidish. I was going to say the Shabbos of either Shchidish of the Bachel or Chidish Nisan. Pashas Korah is the Shabbos before it. The purpose of Pashas Korah is, again, to remember, remind ourselves about the fact that the Midbar is not the one means of purifying a person who was Tumei, the worst kind of Tumah Shiva, in 7 days, it's mess. In order to purify him, he had to use the ashes of the Korah Aduma. This Korah Aduma was a very rare item, just a handful of one time. Second basically, there were just a few. The first one was just one. This one, this Korah Aduma had to first be burned, and the ashes used for the purification process. Ashes, water mixed, the purification process of those persons who were tummy. Being in the Midbar, they were all tummy. They had to come to the point of eating the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach cannot be eaten by one who is tummy. Stood. We all had to be prepared for this tara, purifying. The time for burning the Korah Aduma took place just before the Shchedesh Nisan, because Komas Mishkan, the setting up of the Mishkan in the Midbar, was on the Shchedesh Nisan. That's when the Jew would be coming into the Beis Hamikdash, to the Mishkan, temporary Beis Hamikdash, to drink the bones. They had to purify themselves first before setting up the Mishkan, and therefore it was done just before the Shchedesh Nisan. So we have now the Kriya before the Shchedesh Nisan, before Pashas Chodesh. That way they'd be pure to bring the Korban Pesach. Now that was then. Today we say in the Shalma Korban Sfaseinu, the place of the action of the Korah Aduma, we have the Tefillah or the Teda. So he said, Teda, the Gemara says that we learned the Teda, Teda's Hakos, Teda, Korbanim, we learned the Dinu, Teda, about these Korbanis, it's as though you actually are bringing the Korbanis. When you say now the words, Tefillah, the words of, about these items, it's as you speak about the Korbanis, the spell that your Tefillah should be accepted in place of the Korbanis, is the equivalent of bringing Korbanis. Shalom Korban Sfaseinu, that by speaking, the spell of Hashem, Yotze Ki'ilu Kedavna, as though we were not there, we are the wealthiest people out there, because the poor person brings it. More flour, birds, doves, pigeons, the richer ones bring lambs, goats, richest bring cows, oxen. Shama Bodim, with our lips, doesn't cost any of this service alone. The right Kavana, who created entire ox, herds of oxen, bring us Kavanas. So here, with our words, speaking, listening to the Kriya of Korah Aduma, it is as though we're actually fulfilling the mitzvah of the burning of Korah Aduma and the tefillah on top of that Hashem himself to purify us, just as the Jews are purified in the Midbar. That's a chus, being coming back pure, which is ultimately we see with our Raziat Komas, setting up of the Beis Hamikdash by Hashem himself. We should be able to see that this time, this what is the place of the position? We see with our eyes that the Aspashir can't think that he is supposed to be. It is that we read the Megillah twice, once in the evening and once in the morning, both times. Our meaning is that there are three brachas that are said before the Megillah. Three brachas are Amikra Megillah, Sheyasa Nisim, and Shechyam. Shechyanu has to be said for a mitzvah, Mizmana. Mitzvah that comes Mizmana, you say Shechyanu. We can understand why the Shechyanu is said in the evening. New mitzvah, the mitzvah of the Megillah. Why is Shechyanu said in the morning? Because there are other mitzvahs important besides Mishnah Megillah. you have a mitzvah of a shkoyach bonis, matona is to have yonim coming up, you also have a mitzvah of a sudas purim. So these require a shechyanu. What's very important, very basic, is everyone must know that since the shechyanu is a chiyuv for each person to make, means you are relying on the balkeide, who might see you with this bracha shechyanu. Therefore, it actually requires the kavana of the balkeide and the kavana of all those listening. Balkeide should have a mind what the shechyanu goes for, and to have a mind that he might see all those that are hearing, and all those that are listening should have kavana in mind to hear the shechyanu in the morning that this is the shame mitzvahs. And Sudas Purim. So too, throughout the entire Megillah, you have to have the Kavanah for three words. Of course, you have the Kavanah in the beginning. As you start the Megillah, the Balkeda has Kavanah. I am now going to Mitzi everyone with every word. Each person is supposed to have a mind that will not be Yetzer with every word that I hear. You must hear every word, and if one word is missing, he's not Yetzer. Therefore, you must have a chumash in front of you, or a megillah, in case you miss a word, to repeat that word to yourself, even though it's not a kosher megillah. But this is different than a sefer Torah. If you have a word missing the megillah itself, our Torah himself says it by heart, he's yetzer. He has many words, as long as it's not a whole inyan, or as long as it's not the first and last pesukim of the megillah. Above all, it must be kavanah to be yetzer. Must be able to hear everything, and therefore you must have silence in the shul. Shemizochet to the mala, the mitzvahs, the shlemos, zochet to the simchas purim, the mapala for all the sons of Israel. See the good shlemos and the Eidah. Okay, it's purim. Inay Megillah, Shayachmona is Sudas Purim. In the reading of the Megillah, as we said, the Balkeda must be in Chavim to the Mitzi, every person with every word of the Megillah. Each person has to be in Chavim, that Chavim to be Yetzir with each word. In reading the Megillah itself, there are certain Hogim that are part of the Megillah reading. For instance, by Laila Ahu, Peter raises his voice, because that's the turning point of the story of Purim. That night, Nodadosh Nasa Melech, king, went to sleep, and that next morning, Haman was coming to get the seal of the king to kill Mordechai, that very night, the miracle happened. That was a nesef. One of the king couldn't sleep. He had the sefer as a finished ready for him, and the benapach, the whole thing completely changed its form to a point where there was victory for Mordechai and Mapola for Haman. That's why at that moment the voice is raised. So, of course, the Gemara says, the word Hamelach from the Megillah always refers to Hashem. Gemara asks, we'll accept everything, but that night the king couldn't sleep. The shayla to say sleep? The answer is right. He could not sleep means that there was a spaydus of Malach. The spaydus, there was an arousing of Rachmei Hashem, Rachmei Shemayim. Many times there's a midas adin, it's motuach, it's stretched so taut, it's difficult to break through. When there is Rachman in the Seder, all the tefillahs, Jews there, and the sister, modifies, cries and tears, this aroused, not a Dosh Nasamalach. There was no more, the chesed was no more dormant, no more asleep, but the chesed, even the chesed arose, and the nest blossomed forth. You have the reading of the 10 sons of Haman. Word we use Aseres, name Haman, and then the 10 names of Haman. These are the 10 Svidas, the Klipa. Every Svida of Kusha has an opposite, Mecha of the Klipa. These 10 were destroyed then, therefore it is customary to read these 10 with the Yeshiva Achaz, with one breath. You're not supposed to take a breath between. Means you have to try to take a deep breath first. Some people can do it easily, some find it difficult. So what you do is then to take a deep breath, and then to read as quickly as possible, and if you faint in the middle, be revived and start again. But there are certain ones who are, some Balkeidas are very fancy. They want to go into all the fancy stuff. The Gina, which they miss elsewhere, here they want to go into all the time. What happens is that the voice gives out that they're dying by the sixth or seventh sun, and they're trying to get to shore, get to the end of that page. They see them barely crawling along until they peter out at the end. They just get to Meshmeis Ish, Asetis. The word Asetis is the last one. Asetis. The word Asetis is dies out. They fall asleep at the. Of course, the answer is that there should be less fancy work done there and more speed, but naturally reading correctly. The reason, too, is that that's the shot. The plain shot is that the 10 sons of Haman were all hung together. This is a sign that they were not separated. It was a victory that was complete. Beginning to end, all 10 were hung on the same tree. That's the reading of the end of the Megillah, of course. I mentioned that the Megillah ends, you have to say the Bracha immediately, all except the Baal Keter, who first rolls up the Megillah. That's the reason the Mother Mahmoud, because it's really, you know, be upset. Of course, there are some people who are very neat, meticulous, things out of place. You just can't read properly, you can't. Well, the Bata might say, what kind of is this Bar Kelly takes out how we do it, the shoe we're doing. It's the reason he cares about himself. To keep the peace, we have the Bar Kelly first roll the wheel together. It's not considered a F-sync for the Bar Kelly. Anybody else listening to a Megillah, using the Megillah for the previous Megillah, then we should first say the Bracha and then hold it up again. Now, then our Mishloach Manos. This is a halacha, which is one of the major dinim of Purim. The din is that you're supposed to send two food gifts, preferably these two types of food gifts. Not, let's say, two apples, or two slices of cake. Two separate types of food gifts. Because if it's two slices of cake, it's very simple. If you have one, just cut it in half. And then you go further and cut that in half. You can have, you divide it for the whole city. So it has to be two kinds of food gifts, preferably. These two food gifts, this is Mishloach Manos, not to give these food gifts to friends, Ishlereyehu, is not necessarily to the poor. It could be to the person who's wealthy, but some are wealthy, but poor mentally. The main poverty is mental. That, of course, there is no shortage. There is no question. The right poor. This does make, because this Ishlei Eil means to his friend. By giving these food gifts to friends, he gives this to the poor. Giving these food gifts to his friends is not enough. It must be sent. Shleach has to be through a shaliach. It must be a third party. Even if your friend is right next to you, you cannot hand it to him. You must say to a person who's 10 feet away, you come here and give it to my friend. The friend says, you're not talking to me anymore. You're not friends anymore. And that shows, of course, what he knows. As we said, this is a friend who's rich. But this is the halacha of Mishloach Manos, sending these food gifts. That's because there was a custom, and a custom has to be kept up. Many yourselves halacha to this day, thousands of years, we cannot deviate from that custom. Again, the dinner of these food gifts, this food must be completely ready to eat, not be something raw, potatoes that are uncooked, or meat that's raw, or fish that's not cooked. Those cannot be used for Mishloach Manos. There are some individuals who eat raw meat, but we're dealing now again with those who are semi-rich, that they have to be food that is mamish, prepared, ready to eat, like sweets, cake, fruit, wine. Of course, one got to be careful with kosher wine. Meaning that it should be kosher wine. In this case, you would say, what's the problem? The problem is that there's a halacha of sending the wine. There are certain basically who say that the Yayin Esek is not just that the goy touches the wine. even if a goy sees the wine, just looking, a goy's eyes looking at the wine would make it shy. Unless the wine is insured, it's a new one. The guy in the Musho has no problem. A regular wine, even if a goy's eyes look at it, in his own brings that to consider the power of the eyes. Eyes of Tumor, the Ayin Hora. Ayin Hora, of course, is the Matria Tov. It's the Esau, the power of Esau, Amalek. Esau's 400 men. They have a power of the eyes where they could just look at wine and already created a definite shadow. How do all priests can say that it's straight? Surely, we should be careful, beware of this if we're possible. The wine should be at least covered in the egg. Again, unless it's Yain Lavusho, even then, why let it go look at our wine, even if it doesn't? This should be food that is ready to eat immediately. Then it's the Gitzel Mishloach Matzah. Now, since the whole miracle was through wine, miracle of Purim, Vashti lost the kingdom. It was a long sequence of acts. Vashti lost the queenhood in her head, because of Mishta Yain, which became made. Instead, Esther came into her place. Haman too had his Apollo through wine. Because what did Queen offer Ahasuerus? Come to my suga, I'm making a feast. What's at the feast that will draw the king? Wine. Oh, that's what's great. Well, Ahasuerus, the Gemara says, was a very great, he was all again in between. It was neither this nor that. It was neither big nor small. It was neither a big chacham, nor was he a small tippish. The combination of Malach-Tipesh, Ha'edi Mar says, so that wine, Duhim, at this meal, at this feast, the wine, Mishpayayin, that's where she was able to win over the victory against Haman. That's why, remember this, there is a mitzvah to drink wine. Actual mitzvah to get drunk. Actually, to get drunk with wine. Now, there, this, but Dafka, this case, Dafka. Benedel says that a person should avoid drinking wine to excess at all costs. Surely, liquor. During the entire year, even at the happiest occasions, weddings or simplicity, and Taven, Benedel said that Joe was not allowed to drink wine. Not happy. Those people, as individuals, are seeing the dream process every day. That's not for us. So here we were warned that wine that cannot be anything like a person being an alcoholic if he is a wrestler. Stood. Yet, Dafka, not Purim, you know, the mitzvah is, not my son's interpreting in order to mean that a person should get drunk if he doesn't know the difference. Mordechai and Ordo Haman. Can't tell which is which. So drunk is he that he can't tell. His mind is not clear. Adlo Yoda, the Moshe Zohar explains many different forms. But the point is that this Adlo Yoda, this drunkenness, Daniel says, means literally. It's to get drunk literally. Now, this is true. This is fact. You find that the great Tzaddikim in the past, and that Nosazal, the others, Nosazal once said that the Kippur is a very easy yuntif compared to Purim. Because we have to fast, so it's easy to fast, you got Purim, you have to drink. That's a hard one. You fulfill it with difficulty. Other great tzaddikim did that. And even as Manazeh, they're a great pure they can do them. Moshe Shapiro, for instance, years back, there before the first trip yet, he drank. He went out to speak. Maybe Yachal, which he goes to, stopped the number 11 bus and said, take me to Umman. This was